Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The Congress this year, this next week, ought to repeal the Dodd-Frank bill. They ought to repeal the Sarbanes-Oxley bill. They ought to start creating jobs right now, because for those 14 million Americans, this is a depression now.
Newt Gingrich from the Republican presidential debate last week. And sure enough, that comes just as Wall Street firms are mounting a bigger push to repeal parts of the Dodd-Frank financial reform law that they don't like. Let's see what's going on with Wall Street Journal reporter Deborah Solomon. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for coming on WNYC today.
Good morning.
Is Wall Street making a new push to unbind itself from the new risk rules that Congress enacted?
Well, I don't know if it's a new push. I don't think it ever ended. I think there is just a sense that given all of the concern of Wall Street and, where the economic recovery is, the fact that the unemployment rate still hasn't budged, I think some business groups and Wall Street firms see this as another opportunity to kind of make their case that, you know, the economy can't handle all this regulation right now because firms will retrench and not make the kinds of investments that they would otherwise.
Am I right that they specifically don't like a rule that they have certain amounts of capital on hand as a cushion against big losses?
Right. Well, there are a couple of things they don't like. One of the biggest ones, though, is this capital rule. And the law required the Fed to impose higher capital standards. Essentially, that means that banks should have more capital, more money in reserve to withstand potential losses if we have another crisis. And they don't like that. They think that they've boosted their capital cushions well enough. You know, obviously, they all did these stress tests during the crisis and some of them had to raise capital. They feel like they're complying with an international agreement called the Basel Agreement, which gets their capital levels higher, and they think asking for any more is just overkill and will put them at a disadvantage with overseas banks, which may not be as well capitalized, and will also make them less willing to spend their money elsewhere.
Do you think that's true about the competitive disadvantage?
Well, I mean, it is true that the U.S. is probably among the banks here are better capitalized. I mean, you know, the banks here were put through a rigorous stress test and raised, you know, billions of dollars in capital, and so they're, you know, they have a lot of money in case something goes wrong. Banks overseas also are subject to the international accord called Basel, but they don't necessarily haven't gone through the sort of same sort of stress testing. And their banks actually account for, you know, overseas for a bigger percentage of GDP in some places. So the regulators and the policymakers there have been a little less, forceful in terms of making them raise capital. So yes, there is some truth to that concern.
Journal columnist Holman Jenkins wrote on Saturday, higher capital requirements might be a real solution if pushed to their logical conclusion. Let such banks that are too big to fail be taxed out of existence by taxing away the value of their implicit government guarantee. Their complexity and opacity would revert to being what it should be, a reason for investors and lenders to steer clear of them. And he concludes, let their functions be dispersed to smaller and more focused institutions whose risk-taking can be monitored and disciplined by the capital markets. Interesting argument. Is anything like that on the table?
No, not at the moment. I mean, I think one of the things that regulators are hoping is that if you make these capital standards high enough and burdensome enough, that firms are not going to grow larger. You know, so if you know that you're going to have to hold a lot more capital because you have some risky assets, you might think twice, about holding those assets.
That's right. You need a second. Holman Jenkins goes on to say, here's guessing that a world without too big to fail banks would not be bereft of financial innovation or diversified services aimed at every kind of customer. It might be a very nice world. And to get there, a little political vilification of bankers may indeed be in order, but that time is not yet. And, you know, I don't know the body of his work, but on the Wall Street Journal op-ed page, that was pretty interesting, calling for too big to fail banks to be broken up, but also for some vilification of bankers as perhaps warranted, even if politicians are afraid to do it right now in the weak economy.
Well, yeah, I mean, there definitely is a case to be made by some for breaking up these banks. But again, there doesn't seem to be any real impetus to do that in Washington. And the law, as it was passed, does give the FDIC the right to do that if a firm can't provide regulators with a so-called resolution plan, which basically would give regulators a way to dismantle a company if they run into trouble. But nobody thinks they're actually going to use that.
Are those Basel rules the international standards for how much capital to have on hand as a cushion against risk? Are they too weak to be meaningful? Is Dodd-Frank, in your opinion, or in the opinion of most economists who look at it, needed in terms of going further now than the international standards?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, some of the banks are already at the international standard, even though they have until 2019 to get there. So, it's kind of, we're not sure yet. I mean, right, so the banks, not all the banks are there. J.P. Morgan is there. Some others are there. They just want to make sure that the best defense against another crisis and another potential round of taxpayer bailouts is to make sure that these banks have enough money to withstand any kind of losses that they might suffer.
Right. And banks will argue that we're asking two contradictory things of them. Keep more of a capital cushion on hand as a hedge against risk, and please lend more money now to more riskier borrowers now to get the economy moving again. Do they have a point about that being a fundamental contradiction?
Well, I mean, it is a contradiction, although you talk to some regulators like Sheila Bair, and she says she hasn't seen any evidence that higher capital standards hurt lending.
Hasn't seen evidence that higher capital standards hurt lending. Explain how that could be. If they have to keep more money on hand as a cushion, then presumably they have less of their own money, whatever that total is, to lend.
Well, that is true. I mean, she just says she doesn't think that that's how they make decisions, that they're going to lend because that's how they make money.
Right. All right. Well, a little preview of what we're going to be seeing a lot more of, I think, between Wall Street and the regulators. Dance going on right now. Deborah Solomon, Wall Street Journal reporter. Thanks a lot for filling us in.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, Irshad Manji, who runs something called, how do you get a job like this? She runs the Moral Courage Project at NYU. And she'll talk about whether the Arab Spring signals a more liberal Islam. Stay with us.